Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey everybody, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Thanks for being with us. I thought about calling you today. We never do that. Just to sort of like have a chat first. But I didn't do that. Obviously, you know that.
Yeah. I thought the same. But didn't act on it. It's not really funny, but one of my first observations is like sitting down here to start the show and thinking about that and thinking, well, I don't need to call you because I trust you. Like I know we're not going to start talking about game seven, from last night or Saturday night in the NBA or the NHL. It's, you know, that is all in the backseat, at least to start. So I even thought, how would I react if we didn't start with what happened here on Saturday? Like, would I interrupt you?
Right?
But then I just stopped myself from even thinking about what my plan would be, because I know I don't need one. Because I know that you're going to be like-minded, and we're going to start where we're starting.
Yeah, there's absolutely no thought to not doing that. I'm listening to the update, and it's really like what I'm thinking about is, I'm listening to Joe, is I haven't really thought about any of this. You know, like when the next series start, Treylon Burks, when he had that thing about Treylon Burks, I thought, well, that would be interesting if that were us, because then it'd be like, you know, you and I'd be like, oh, that's not a great sign. And then maybe we'd have fans saying, why even care about this? You know, things like that. But it's just not at all where my head is, or I'm sure yours, and I think most of this community. I feel wholly inadequate, you know, for in this role to try to find words for what happened. I'm not sure they exist. I don't think I'm really capable of that, if anyone is. I also just feel inadequate. Like I feel the pain that this community feels, and the families and the friends. But of course, I really don't know that pain at all. I mean, I don't know the pain of losing family and friends in this way, and have it feel, you know, the feeling that you're targeted. You know, I can't tell you how that feels or offer any meaningful perspective on that. I want to play some part in helping. I too often detach myself to protect my emotions. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, like I share that once in a while, and I never like the reaction I get. I know how that sounds. I know how that goes over, that, you know, that you can't go on like that. You can't just always detach, but it's hard. I mean, there are, well, I don't, here I am again thinking about talking about how I feel sometimes. And then, like, you and I have these conversations where we share this, where we talk about how we don't feel good about something and then feel bad about the feelings. Yeah. Because it doesn't feel like meaningful enough. I want to play some part in helping. I want us to do that. I think I'm going to ask you if you know, like, websites and Twitter accounts. I have a few written down that maybe we can share today.
That's really all I have felt compelled to do since since Saturday night, Sunday morning, and everything. I don't have notes, but my Twitter feed is my notes. I have over the course of the last 30 hours or so, I guess, when I've seen information that I feel is trustworthy, I've been sharing it, and that's really all. I don't feel compelled to offer commentary on social media about what's happening because I just don't. I also can't find the words that I think are needed, if they are out there. So that's that's really all I've been focused on is that, like, if anyone is looking out there in the in the mess in the Twitterverse for information about where to donate food, any sort of transportation that can, I'm trying to just send that out there. Other than that, I don't know. I just feel sad and angry, and I'll bet.
Yeah.
Almost everyone listening feels the same.
Yeah. Right. I again, and you're saying the same, like I'm uncomfortable being some sort of a, in whatever way it would seem this way, some sort of a spokesperson on this. But we're here, right? Like we have some role that we were not going to start with the Ranger game. Like there is that it feels right and just almost unquestionably right to do that, to play some part here through the radio show. It's our community, and we've lost 10 people who live here like we do. And I talk about, I don't know, every move seems like the wrong move. I talk about how much I like going to the grocery store. The grocery store, for me, is this happy, safe place where you sort of don't know anybody, but it's cool. Like Bills games offer this. People like that about going to Bills games, is that like the strangers are their friends. People in the crowd that they don't know, but you're hugging and high-fiving and everything. I don't hug or high-five at the grocery store, usually, but I just like how I feel in there. I like, learning about food and just watching people, and it seems like such an innocent and safe place and thing to do. Also, a necessity.
Yeah, and especially in that in the neighborhood where this happened. I mean, that store has been rightly described as an oasis, which says a lot about our the city and the segregation that exists here. But like for a long time, that neighborhood didn't even have that, just didn't even have that store. And so to have it be the site of something like this, I mean, I heard Claudine Ewing talking about this, like how important it is to the neighborhood, and like going there and seeing people you know and people you went to school with or the parents of childhood friends and whatever. And like, in a neighborhood that is as insulated as that neighborhood is, that is a very important place. And it makes this, all the more all the more tragic, I think. I mentioned Claudine. There's some people have done amazing, just a fantastic job of covering this story. She's one of them. Ed Dranch from Channel 7. I watched a lot of him on Saturday, and just powerful, and I got a lot of respect. Because I'm just sitting here in my attic alone trying to talk, and I'm already having trouble.
Well, what can you do? We'll give out some information that will offer, hopefully, practical means of assistance that people can follow up on and maybe make a difference. It's also just like, we've had different, this is race and this is guns and this is Buffalo. Like, it's all of it in one event. And independently, like, we've been here a long time and different things, there've been shootings and, racism and different forms and events over the years and in sports and outside of sports. And they come up and you know, we talk about them as best we can. Here is this combination here, and I just, in those other instances, what do you want to say? Like, there's anger, like you said, but there's also, like, listen to me, right? Just come on. Just listen to me. We've argued at different times over, you know, demonstrations, you know, on the football field or different things. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of want to say, not that you and I are always in the same place, but we often are. Just kind of want to say, you know, listen this time. I'm the same way with you about Twitter. Like, I don't feel like I should be or necessarily want to represent myself as some sort of a voice in this situation. I mean, we all follow people who can't wait to be the voice on every single thing that there is. And, you know, good for them. But, man, this is a time, I think, where you really just need to listen and also do your part, maybe physically, to be helpful. Yeah. I mean, there's a nothing. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I made a sound, and then you know, like, I'm ready to say something.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's all right. It's all right. You got 4 hours.
I think the listen message is an important one. You know, I'm you know, reminded. You just, you know, mentioned it. Just in like since the spring of 20, when I started working from where I am now home, and you stayed in the studio. I mean, we've been through a lot, on this show, over issues that have, you know, nothing to do with sports. George Floyd, mm-hmm. And you know, that spring of 20, that's 2 years ago. There were demonstrations here, there was violence here, there were demonstrations and violence across the country and the world that sprang from that. And I think that that was a time where it felt really important to listen. You know, can you listen? Will you just please listen? Listen to what the people are saying about why they're kneeling on the football field before the game, before you get mad because the president said what he said about them, and whatever you're feeling about the disrespect that, in your opinion, that sort of demonstration showed, listen to why they're doing it. Listen to why these people feel compelled to put themselves in a spot where they know they are going to make a lot of people angry, but they're doing it anyway. I mean, think in your life. Have you ever been in a spot like that where you're compelled to do something that you know is going to just piss people off? Like, maybe violently so, but you have to do it anyway? I mean, you know, we're all pretty lucky. Like, most of us probably have never been in that spot. Many have. And it's not just, you know, people of color that have been in those spots. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people who have served the country have been in spots like that. And I have nothing but respect for all of that. But you have to listen. You know, that's probably why if I'm mad, it's that the opportunity to grow just, you know, it evaporated. Like, all of that sound and fury from 2 years ago just, you know, sort of dissipated. It's replaced with more rhetoric, and now we're all, I don't want to say we're all experts, but we all know about the great replacement theory now. Like, I don't know, raise your hand if you hadn't really heard of that before Saturday. But here we are. So, I mean, I've got anger at big media. I've got anger at gun lobbies. I mean, there's just so much. And it's all, you know, it's all the same as it was 2 years ago, except that it happened, you know, 2 miles from where I'm sitting. And, you know, so we're, you know, all going to be feeling it in a much more raw way. I mean, not that I'm in the center of it. I just mean, like, in the city, mm-hmm. in the area code, in the county, people are feeling it. And, you know, the people, of course, most directly affected are now scrambling to find ways to get food, because the one store that they could count on for that is now closed because someone drove 200 miles to come and shoot people. And it's just so, there's so much, I think, lacking from a responsibility standpoint with a lot of big media, because like it's the same as so many things in life. It's like the cash register keeps ringing, and so you know you just keep pushing your agenda that people are are ripe for. They want it, so you're feeding them, and it's really, there's no real regard given to the harm it may do. It's just, you know, I'm selling ads and I'm making money and I'm on TV just telling giant lies that ultimately are going to cost people lives.
Selling fear.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so unnecessary. And I've been thinking about this for years. Like, you know, just politically, you know, it's not something we talk about a lot, but like, do the people that espouse this stuff, whether they're in Congress or whether they're running locally for seats on town boards in Hamburg, do they believe the stuff that they're saying, or is it just a meal ticket to them? I don't know which is worse.
I never know.
But I'm definitely skeptical about whether they really believe it. It's just something to say, sort of like how Skip Bayless does his TV show about sports. Like, does he really believe everything he's saying, or is it just performance art in a way? And, you know, that's only about sports. And, like, so that can make you mad if you take sports that seriously until you realize that it's a caricature and a cartoon. The problem is with news and politics and guns and race, there are real consequences that go beyond whether LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. And so, like, all of that, oh, it's just so endlessly frustrating to me. And I don't know, you know, I doubt anyone is turning us on today expecting to hear solutions. I don't know what to do about it. I just feel hollow inside.
I think one thing that, this has been said, but it seems like an effort, to say the least, worth making, is to just, if you learn and listen, learning will come from listening, you have to care about it and just try, then you'll recognize times when you'll hear things and you'll be likelier to recognize them as problematic. In whatever situation, maybe within your family or maybe your workplace or who knows, but that education and that knowledge comes into play there. And if you lack it, then whereas maybe there's something you can do about it, depending on how well you know the person or if you're related to them, instead, you just kind of don't recognize it. There's the awareness, and then there's also the willingness to speak up. And that's hard for a lot of us. That's hard for people. People don't like to do that. They don't want to get involved in it and, you know, create some sort of other problem in their lives. But, you know, these situations, and here is an absolutely, you know, local and just galling example, are just, they increasingly lead me there. Just, you know, not to be detached, but at least in some way try to help with another person or in another situation to do something that makes you feel like maybe you can help prevent something else down the road, because this is over. I mean, one thing about it being in Buffalo, what you hear, like, oh, it's something I never thought would happen here, right? Like, it's sort of almost a cliche. Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, that's never occurred to me. And that is not a reflection on Buffalo, as it is just sort of like, well, why would you think that? I mean, it's just so naive to think that, because, you know, what do you think if you learn about, you read the stories in these other events and how they happened, you often hear the same thing. Like, well, I never thought it would. What makes Buffalo different than Sandy Hook or Colorado? I mean, different places where we know about these famous incidents and shootings. Like, it really, and I think even just that can be meaningful, where you sort of get past this feeling of just like this false sense of security or something. We're like, no, it's what one person can wreak this level of havoc, and there's no reason to think that this such a person isn't just anywhere, right? Like, why would it not be where you are? There's just no logical reason to be that way. So, you know, you want to be what? You want to be alert and sensitive in both ways so that you can kind of appreciate what the message is and also be sensitive to whether you hear something that might need to be challenged or, I don't know, like, hey, wait a minute, that's not okay, that kind of thing. I recently, Saturday reminded me of a time not very long ago where I ducked this. Like, there was something said, and I was there, and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't say anything. And I left, and I talked about this with people close to me. Like, I made a mistake right there. Because that is something that should not have been okay to say, you know, in a group like that. And I let it go. I tend to be like that too often. I don't like it. Because, I don't know, I think about work, and I think about my family, and it's just sort of easier. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's not right. You know, it's just not right. You don't have to take everybody on, but...
No, I know. You and I have talked about this. Like, like your kids are younger than my kids, but they're, you know, they'll be active, you know, in the ways that my kids are soon enough. And I feel I've had to talk to my kids about, like, look, you can't fight every battle all the time. If you do, you are doomed. Like, you're never gonna do anything else. But at the same time, you know, you want to raise your kids to be, you know, good people, conscientious people, fair people. You know, my wife and I chose to live in the city in large part. I mean, say what you want about the schools. We thought it was important. And this, I'm not judging people who go to the suburbs. I'm just telling you, for us, we wanted our kids to go to school with people that didn't look like them. I wanted them to have that experience. I did not have that experience as a kid. So I wanted them to have that. So you want them to have their eyes open and do the right thing, but there's a lot, you know, there's just a lot for them to sift through. And, you know, I'm a little bit like you in the way that, like, how often do I want to raise my hand? You know, how often is it warranted? How often is it smart? It's probably warranted way more often than it happens. But at least, you know, we do have this as an outlet to share what we are feeling and you know, at least, you know, get it out there. But, you know, I don't know for what reason. Like, I don't know who I'm helping, who we're helping talking today. I don't know. Because I think the pain is too significant.
And it's very raw. I mean, this is Saturday. We're at a loss, but we want to do what it is we can do here today. At Buffalo Community Fridge, at Westside Peacemakers, I've seen those accounts. Just retweeted a link to a New York State website that a listener sent to us. Maybe this way you can find your way to some organization or some way of assisting that suits you.
I went to Community Fridge yesterday, run around lunchtime, and that's East Ferry near Jefferson, about less than a mile, I think, from the grocery store. And let me tell you, it was a scene. I mean, there were just people coming from all directions carrying, you know, as little as some grocery bags, because word got out by then in the day that they were having, like, one of the things they needed. And this is often how it goes. Like, you think you're doing the best you can. I mean, everyone's any help, of course, is welcome. But, like, what do you need? Actually, we need ice and coolers and bags to, like, put food in to take it where it needs to go. And so you've got people walking with grocery bags. You have people walking with pallets of fresh fruit. It's just, like, from all directions coming. And like, I decided I was going to go over there, you know, late in the morning. By the time I got there, I think it was early afternoon. And I wondered, like, I don't know, what is it, like, how cumbersome is this even going to be? Like, what kind of scene is it going to be? I mean, is there going to be someone there for me to give this to, or what? And I mean, I'll tell you, I was in and out of there so fast that I felt guilty. Like, it was so efficient, despite what looked like chaos. Once you got close, it was like, here come, like, three people. One's grabbing the milk, one's grabbing the bread, one's grabbing the eggs, and they're off in different directions to go stash them where they're going. And I suddenly I'm empty-handed. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll leave now.
That's it.
And I got to my truck, and I'm like, I don't know, like, am I going to be helping if I ask them if I can do anything more, or is that going to be like nobody has time to tell me what they would need me to do? You know what I mean? Like, it's like when your kids want to help you paint, right? Like, I don't know if I have time, really. I want to get this done. I don't have time to clean up after you and supervise you. So it's nice that you want to help me paint, but I don't know if it's really quote unquote helping.
Right.
And so I just got my truck and came home, and I just thought, I hope people are still going to be mobilized in that way, because after, you know, the initial wave of this, you know, the instinct to help, you know, just dissipates. Like, I think these places are still going to need, because I don't know how long that store is going to be closed for. But I mean, there are people that live in that neighborhood that have to walk to that store to get food. So what community fridge and other organizations are doing is vital, and whatever support you can provide to them, I mean, I would encourage you to do it.
We will talk to Sal and Paul today as we go, mix in some other things, but definitely want to be here to send the messages about the different ways to help, and, you know, just have a real chat about just the anger and sadness and frustration and helplessness and all the different feelings that we're sharing in this community right now. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this on WGR.
Harold. As they get organized on the power play, but not much time left with the man advantage, 12 seconds. On the left wing, carried down, Krebs, Bechner's side, shot, he scores! The Avics put it away! One time shot in OT!
That is Don Stevens with the Amerks as Rochester wins again in the Calder Cup playoffs. They have had the touch in overtime so far this postseason, and they're winning games in the postseason for the first time in many years. Ruotsalainen, that's how I say it.
Artu
Ruotsalainen, Ruotsalainen. Just can't be Ristolainen, right? We had Ristolainen.
I tried to make
that's
it
not him.
Enough when they were still both here for a little while. I wanted to make an effort to make sure and differentiate. So Ruotsalainen. Yeah.
It's
weird. Like, he's not – he doesn't seem like he's in the plan anymore, really. There's even been some buzz about him maybe going to Europe to play after this year, but he's having a massive playoff so far.
So Rochester is up 2-1 in its series against Utica. Paul Hamilton will be on with us later to tell us more. Sal Capaccio as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This, I think, I don't know, something that I was thinking a lot about yesterday after Saturday's event. This event, I'm worried about every word. Mass shooting. Like, I'm not trying to not face it. So you had, I think you did it. Like, you went golfing on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Owen and I were out. We teed off at 8:35 or something like that.
So you were golfing on Saturday, which is like your first time this year. And so did I yesterday with Joe. I played with Joe yesterday. Part of our fantasy football draft, been scheduled for months, that we would play in the morning and then have this draft. And I'm out there, I mean, just
I'll bet your day went better than ours.
Golf-wise?
Owen and I, golf-wise.
Yeah, I would say probably.
A little bit of a struggle.
The way you're talking, I'm going to say yes, it did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, this is sort of the essence of that sort of detachment and privilege that you think about. And it was on my mind throughout playing golf yesterday. Like, just you sort of look around and it's like mostly white, of course, and money, and you know, it just sort of all that thinking about Saturday and feeling very lucky and playing golf sort of, I don't know, exemplifies that, I guess I'd say. But Joe and I did play. We had a game. A guy you admire, I know, Adam Krautwurst, was a part of the group. And also my friend Mike. And Joe, I thought it was good. Joe paid right away, too.
I think on the way to the cart after 18.
Just like
walking
that.
Off the green, yeah.
Okay.
Kinda no, like, that can't be right, because my phone would have been in the cart.
Kind of like me paying you about the primetime games. Just, you know, it wasn't all the way over yet.
Bam. Yep.
Bam.
I did live bet down my losses, though, yesterday. Because I would have been down a certain amount, and I cut into it by live betting
the best.
Hole 12 or 13, whatever it was.
10, 11, 12, 13. So Joe and Adam are playing Mike and me, and
you two teed off.
We teed off, and neither did really well. His ball was kind of dead, and mine...
short, left, rough, maybe?
I had made a comment on the tee. Like, I was playing pretty well, and I'm very happy, and we were winning. And on that tee, I went over to Joe. I'm like, I think this is the hardest hole out here. This one's in my head a little bit. And I hit the ball, and I said to Joe later, like, why did I ever do that? Why did I have to... just hit the ball straight. There's the fairway. Just put the ball in the... just go that way. What's so hard about it? What makes this hard? It's not on a mountain or something. Like, just...
right.
So anyway, I had a negative thought and hit a bad drive. And then Joe goes up to the tee, and Joe goes, we are minus 120 to win this hole.
Right, not lose it or draw it either. Like, to win it outright.
And I immediately said, bet. So now Joe had started like live betting on the hole, and I kind of choked. I had a nice bunker shot, but got to make that putt. You can't just
like an 8-footer.
Yeah, you hate to waste the bunker shot.
We put the pressure on though.
I had 4 putts, no kidding, on Saturday that rimmed. 2 of them went all the way around the cup and out. And 2 more that went like halfway to 3/4 of the way around, like just curled around right edge all the way around. I couldn't buy a break. You know, I've been practicing so hard. I probably deserved a better fate. But
right.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. We had a wonderful time. Owen, it was funny. Like, Owen had never played golf before. So before we knew he was going to be done playing hockey, I talked to my wife in the winter, said, like, you know, Christmas, we should get Owen golf clubs. He's going to continue to be a hockey player. And especially, like, even, you know, with the thought being he's still in New Mexico, like, you know, he's got a lot of time to kill. Golf almost all year round there. Like, let's get him some golf clubs and, like, see if that takes. So that was the plan. And then, you know, everything just sort of unraveled with his hockey career. But, you know, we got him the golf club. So, like, he's eager to play and really excited to play. And I told him on Friday, I said, you know, I just want you to be prepared for, like, a level of anxiety that, you know, it's just going to be a different, it's going to be a different feeling that you've never experienced before. There'll be people watching. You're going to be doing something you're not real confident in. And, you know, if it starts badly, it could really snowball on you in a hurry. And he's like, Dad, come on. I played goalie in front of 10,000 people. I'm fine. And I'm like, You're good. He still would be if he was still playing. You're good at goalie. Like,
makes all the difference.
You know how to do it. Like, right. This is a very different thing, right? And so We got paired up with a couple of guys. One guy, somewhat older than me, and another guy who is maybe, you know, closer to maybe your age. I don't know, maybe a little younger than you even.
Wow.
And they were both, you know, as nice as can be, very patient, and that was required. Like they teed off. Actually, the older gentleman didn't because he was playing from tees further up than we were playing even. And so, younger guy, middle-aged guy hits perfect, you know, great. Okay, my turn. I don't know what would have been worse. If I'd hit a good ball and then Owen just flubbed it off to the right, or if he had me for company, because I hit, like, you know, one of the worst drives I've ever hit on a first tee in my life. And then he did the same, and then we couldn't find our balls. Either of our balls. There's no way they were more than 30 yards from the tee box, but they were down this slope, and the sun was shining, and the dew, and the dandelions. Like, I have no idea. Well, let's just throw balls down and hit a second shot. Or a third shot, if you will. Right? With a lost ball penalty. Can't find those balls after we hit them.
This is the first hole?
This is the first hole!
Joe,
and I'm very sensitive to him because, like, I'm thinking, like, at least, like, I've train wrecked before. This is not new to me. So, yeah, it sucks, but, like, whatever. You know, I know I'm going to play better than this, and so I'm not worried about it. He, meanwhile, is just like, you know, he told me afterward, like, you almost lost me. I almost told you I wanted to leave. Like, it was going so badly to start. And right away, slow your swing down. Like, not from me, the other guy. And I'm just like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And then finally, no. It sort of came together, and it was, you know, it ended up being fine. He sort of stopped playing his ball all the time just to keep us moving. You know, he overheard one of the older guy talking to the marshal or something, and like he was like, I'm just gonna pick it up and I'll play from yours, and like, you know, we're not keeping score, just I'm out here trying to figure out how to do this. Like, okay. And we had, you know, on the way home, he's like, I can't wait to go do it again. He's like, I thought I hated it for about 45 minutes and I'm all good. So but it was a lot of stress at the beginning of the morning, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we don't in our group, Joe, there was no slow your swing down. If I'm around, the message is quite different. If you're struggling, swing harder. Imagine if you hit it. You don't want to hit it and then it doesn't go anywhere. You got to swing harder. Your body knows. Your brain sees the ball. Swing it. Hit. If you're struggling, just rev it up a couple notches.
There were some laying up, though. At least on our side, there was some laying up. That hole we talked about earlier. I love team golf for this because of the strategy for it. I think that hole, I'm like, to Adam, like, you're 200 plus out, get the wood out, go for it. Bunkers everywhere, don't care. I'll pop a little 9-iron right in front of the green, like a layup shot, so we know we at least have that, and you just go for it.
Yeah, you want to have that strategy. It's one of my favorite things about golf. We played a two-man scramble in our group, and it was fun. So our boss, he lives on the course. He had beers for us.
Oh, look at you.
Great day.
Ready to go. Right off the tee box.
Yep. That's right. Happy birthday to Thurman Thomas. Thurman and his wife Patty are helping to raise money for the victims and the surrounding community in Buffalo from Sunday's shooting. You can go to give.thurmanthomas.com if you follow him on Twitter. His wife is great too. You might follow her. If you follow them, you see the link and it takes you right to the site where you can make a donation. And so thank you to Thurman and Patty for their efforts. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio will join us at 4. This is WGR.
So Crosby has 3 years left on his contract. I've heard that Malkin and the team discussed tying his contract into the end of Crosby's term. But I just heard they couldn't get to the same ground. They just weren't able to get to the number. When it came to Letang, I just heard that philosophically they were not in the same spot. The Penguins have made it very clear that they want to improve their cap situation. And I think if all of those players were initially going where they wanted at the beginning anyway, I don't think the Penguins saw it as a path that was going to work for them.
Elliot Friedman, that's his familiar voice. The podcast 32 Thoughts. The Penguins are out in the first round. When did they last win a series? 5 years ago? Pittsburgh? Anyway, they had a 3-1 lead. They had leads in every game that they lost here the last three. Won late last night. Good thing I was able to take a little bit of money off Joe, because the first round turned into a disaster for me. Yeah. What a horrible weekend for me with the hockey. Pittsburgh, the Leafs. The Leaf game, I was just like so willing when it came to the Leafs. I just kept adding to my bet all through the third period.
Yeah.
All they need is one goal. Like, just give me one goal, and I'm tied and home, whatever. Like, I just give me one goal, and never came. And then L.A., too, and L.A. never looked great in that series, but they were up. They could have. They were up 3-2. They were up 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2, maybe, the Kings. Or maybe not 2-1, but they won the first game.
Yeah, they had a couple of leads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just struck out completely with the first round.
I it was tense, but I'm alive. I didn't have a bunch of series bets. All I did before I was wagering, night to night on the outcomes, but I had Tampa and Calgary as going all the way through. And so that lived barely. Overtime in like Tampa was stretched pretty thin too. But so that's all. I'm still kicking there.
Hey,
all that stuff.
I mean, we all say it. Just advance.
Right.
Like the year I had the Devils on a futures bet to win the East. They did the year they did when they lost to LA like 10 years ago or so. That first round was seventh game overtime. Like you had to, and they won that game in Florida and won two more rounds after that. So who knows? I mean, anybody that won but didn't look that good, the Flames might be the best example of this.
Yeah, I would, I'm not going to double down. I've already got enough sitting there, but I think the matchup with Edmonton couldn't be more opposite of the matchup with Dallas. And I might be tempted to go like to series outcome 4-1 or something like and see about that.
Flames.
See what the odds are on that. Flames. I think they I might guess that they'll roll here on Edmonton.
McDavid, so good though.
Yeah.
Just individually. All right, round 2, not tonight but tomorrow for the first second round games. Sal Capaccio joins us next. I want to hear about yesterday at the softball game, among other things, with Sal. Again, we are going to make a point throughout the day. We spent a lot of time, and I hope you wouldn't be surprised, the beginning of the show talking about the shootings on Saturday. Bulldog, do you have a couple of handles? Like I mentioned, Buffalo Community Fridge, West Side Peacemakers.
Those are the two. The Community Fridge has been the one that I've been most frequently getting out there. So no, I don't have an, although there was an update from them that I tweeted that I should be able to find, that they asked that people, here we are. Thank you for asking, Mike. Buffalo Community Fridge is asking donations go to 91 Holt Street, and the Twitter handle for that is at FeedMoreWNY. FeedMoreWNY on Twitter, and you can get information, I think, through there, because I think they got so overwhelmed at the site that I went to yesterday on East Ferry near Jefferson that I think they needed to move operations somewhere else that had maybe more facilities. I'm just guessing that. But
okay, Sal Capaccio next. Stay tuned.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.